In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I shall read for my text from the Gospel of St. Luke, from its 5th chapter, from verse 17 through 25. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this man which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, saying unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. When Jesus traveled on earth, he taught the people in a lot of different kinds of circumstances. And as we have heard, he taught in many different situations. He taught on a mountain, from a boat, etc. And there was always a lot of people listening to him. A lot of times, a large multitude of people followed Jesus' teaching. Perhaps some of them were just listening to see what kind of miracles would be performed. But there were also a lot of people who really wanted to hear Jesus' teaching. In the 4th chapter, it says that Jesus had been preaching in a synagogue of Nazareth. And was his custom, he went into the synagogue, and there he was delivered a book of the prophet Esaias. And there he read about prophecies about Jesus. And after that, he began to explain to the people that this prophecy of the prophet is now becoming true in him. This is what he said in his sermon to the people of that day. And the people were amazed. They were amazed by those words of grace which came out of the mouth of Jesus. Nevertheless, as they watched when Jesus spoke and they knew him, Jesus was from Nazareth. He grew up there. He was raised there. They knew him as the son of Joseph. And that's why Jesus even says at the end that nobody is a prophet in his own country. They knew him. They knew that he was the son of Joseph, the son of a man, a real person. This is what the people of that day saw when Jesus was teaching. Nevertheless, the people were amazed by the words of grace which came out of the mouth of Jesus, with the words of grace and comfort. But since he was a person, perhaps that is why the words lost their appreciation in those people. But they tell us that Jesus, or it says that Jesus was keeping services in Capernaum. This was the city that or town that he was living in. This was his hometown, and that's where he was keeping services. And the Bible tells us that there was a large crowd that had gathered at those services. And Luke tells us that people came there from a variety of places, and from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. There were Pharisees and doctors. They had come to listen to Jesus talk. The Bible doesn't specifically say how they marketed or advertise these services. How did they know how to come? But perhaps Jesus kept services at his hometown. But perhaps there was other kinds of people, as it says in our text. Our text says that the doorways were so full that you couldn't come in. Luke does not identify what kind of listeners these other guys were. But I believe that some of the listeners there were there because they wanted to hear those words of grace. Here at the summer services of Purasjärvi, there are a lot of people. People have come here from far away to hear the sermon of God's word, which is preached here. And I believe that there are visitors here at these services who wish to hear words of grace, words of comfort and grace, the ones which come from Jesus' mouth. What are these words of grace and comfort? The words are, you can still believe. You can still believe in Jesus' name and precious blood. These are these words of comfort that we want to hear personally. And I think that even at these services, of Capernaum, there were service guests there like this, ones who wanted to hear the words of grace. And our text says later that there were so many people that there was no room to come in. Here at these services, we need to apply by code, and we need to sometimes close the entrance ways just so that we can keep the hallways here open so that people can move along the corridors. They probably did not have these kinds of safety codes. And they tell us here, or it says here, that there was a peculiar procession coming to these services. It says that there were people carrying a sick person, a person who was so sick that he wasn't able to make it to services on his own. And so these men were carrying the sick person. They were carrying him to Jesus. There is a spiritual message here. These men were believers who were carrying this sick person. They wanted to bring this person to Jesus so Jesus would be able to bless this man. And the Bible even tells us that later mothers brought children to be blessed by Jesus. And Jesus blessed these children. And when I think brothers and sisters. At these services, there are a lot of children. You mothers and fathers have wanted to bring your children to be blessed by Jesus. You've brought your children to services. I want to say a few words to you children. Why do your parents bring you to services? They've brought you here because they love you. They love you so much that they want to bring you before Jesus to be blessed by Jesus. Just as the mothers brought those children. And I'm sure that you spoke about these services before they started, and you children wanted to come to these services. I don't think there was a single family where the children said, "Nope, I'm not going to services." You wanted to come to these summer services. And you probably prepared the trip in good time. You are probably helping out to pack the camper. You are probably putting your own things in there. You wanted to come to the services of the children of God. How would it have felt if mom or dad would have come to services and said to you children, "You guys stay home"? Mom and dad did not say that to you. They wanted to take the children to hear the word of God, to hear what they are saying, what is said to you children too. You children are offered that gospel, the same one which we elder ones need. Jesus was a friend of children. He blessed children. And he even said that children are an example to us parents, so that we would know how to be as trusting and confident as children are, because they are so trusting and confident. These believers who were carrying the sick one brought him to Jesus. But when they were not able to make it through the doorway, these men were so smart that they climbed up onto the rooftop. We don't know what kind of building it was, but we know that it must have been light structured, a different kind of building than what we have up north. And they went up to the rooftop and took apart the tiles on the tile roof, and they knew where Jesus was teaching, and they lowered this sick man using ropes to Jesus. Surely the service guests stopped to watch what was going to happen, and the Pharisees and the scribes were surely watching and wondering what's gonna happen. And something did happen. Our text explains. And when he saw their faith, Jesus saw their faith, he saw that the bearers or the carriers were believers, and they believed that Jesus, being the Son of God, would be able to heal this sick man. And so that's what happened, as our text explains. But before that happened, a lot of other stuff happened. When Jesus saw the faith of the people who carried them, he also saw the condition of the soul of the sick person. He saw that this sick person also wanted peace for his conscience. So Jesus said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And so for us children of God of today, this text wishes to teach us one important thing. The most important thing is what is the most important thing in a person's life? Is it the most important thing that a person travels in good health? Surely this is important, and we do wish to maintain our health to the extent that it is possible, but we also know that illness is part of our life, of our world. I know that people are listening on the radio and people are listening on the internet have stayed home because they are sick. But what is the most important? The most important thing is that you have your sins forgiven. The doctrine of Christ teaches us what is the most important thing. The most important thing is to know God and Jesus Christ and to become a child of God. Even getting healthy is not as an important thing as having your sins forgiven, because one day everyone will have to leave this time. And when we think about getting old, we will also get a myriad of illnesses. There are a lot of old people who have needed to listen by the radio because of their illness. There might even be somebody who is sick, and he might be thinking, God has forgotten me. God doesn't remember me anymore. Listen, my brother and my sister. God remembers. Even now he wishes to send the words of comfort and grace to you. Those words which say, even now you can believe all doubts and temptations forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. These are the words of grace which God wishes to send you. But he also wishes to send the same greetings to the service guest here today. You can have permission to believe, all sins forgiven, all sins and doubts forgiven. Those mistakes on the journey. These are these words of grace that we have come to listen to, even at these services. After Jesus had forgiven the sins of this sick person, the Pharisees and the scribes, which I mentioned earlier, they understood that man cannot forgive sins, and that a person who forgives sins is committing blasphemy. That was their understanding. And it says here, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They understood, they had the understanding that only God could forgive someone directly. They saw Jesus only as a person. He was a person from a person. But he was also God of God. He was born as a man on earth, as we know in his day. And as the hymn says, he was born of a pure virgin. They only saw a person. that he was the son of the carpenter Joseph. They did not see the Son of God in him. And we know that Jesus was a person among people, and he had those characteristics and features which we see in the Bible. He experienced hunger as we do. He experienced thirst as we do. And he also felt temptations as we do. Yet he was victorious over temptations. He did not fall into them. And his son, his body suffered from this forgiveness. As it says, Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. Whether is easier to say? Jesus knew what this forgiveness of sins means, what it means for him. He came here being sent by God to atone for our sins. And when we remember the battle on Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying before the events leading up to the crucifixion and sentencing, Jesus knew these events. The Battle of Gethsemane was a heavy event. It was a tough battle. And he says, Take away this cup from me, yet not as I wish, but as thou wish, Father, as thou will. And when we even think about Jesus being crucified on the hill of Golgotha, and he raised up his arms, and his arms were pierced, and his hands were pierced, and they suffered that pain in front of me. There is a picture of hands which have been pierced. He suffered this as a person on the behalf of our sins. In this beautiful song, Vainer Havas gives a very beautiful description which makes us pause before this beautiful thing. Oh, don't you remember, O child, on Golgotha, the sacrificial lamb on that tree of, on that cross. Don't you remember his gaze, the thorns, the crown of thorns he wore on behalf of your sins pressed down on him, and the door to heaven was opened. Jesus suffered on behalf of our sins there, and that is why Jesus asked, which is easier. It wasn't easy for Jesus to suffer on behalf of our sins. Which one is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? Jesus walked that road until the end. He died on the cross, but before he died on the cross, he said, once he preached the gospel once more to unbelievers, to the thief on the cross, he preached the gospel and said, We shall see each other in heaven, in paradise. He gave up his life and he was buried. But brothers and sisters, if the gospel writings would have ended here, we would be missing a lot. We would be missing the gospel. But fortunately, the writings of the gospel did not end here. Easter morning came, the beautiful Easter morning of resurrection. The women found an empty tomb, and Jesus came up to these fearful disciples and comforted them. And Luke writes in the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles, that Jesus appeared for 40 days after his death, spoke to them of the kingdom of God. He spoke of important things. He spoke of the kingdom of God to these disciples. And when he did this, and when he was speaking to these fearful, weak in faith, and comforted these disciples, he gave them a job, a task. He said words which were quite important, or very important. He says, just as the Father hath sent me, I send you. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he even breathed on them in a way you could see with your eyes. And he said, whosoever sins ye retain, remit, they shall be remitted unto them. But whosoever sins ye shall retain, they shall be retained unto them. This is the job that Jesus gave to those disciples who were fearful and of little faith. Those same ones who told Jesus, Jesus, increase our faith. These were the ones who were given this job. Jesus gave this authority of the Holy Spirit to go preach the forgiveness of sins unto all of creation. And so these apostles left and began to preach. And so it is preached even today. And when Jesus preaches on behalf of the disciples, he says, I do not pray that you should be removed from the earth, but that you should be protected from evil. And he continues his prayer. I do not only pray on behalf of these disciples, but on behalf of those who believe through their word. Brothers and sisters, Jesus prayed on our behalf too. On our behalf, that we would be protected from evil. We are the children of prayer, that we would be protected from evil. And that is why this gospel was sent to us in this day, so that we could hear the gospel personally. This gospel is allowed to be, can be proclaimed. And as it has been said, it is a beautiful time when a brother can preach to a brother and say, thy sins are forgiven thee, and a sister can say unto a sister, thy sins are forgiven thee. I know that there are people listening on the radio and other means of communication who need this forgiveness. Bless each other with the gospel, with the forgiveness of sins. This is what we need today. In our times, there are many cold winds which are drying our hearts. And in these days, we often experience waves of doubt blowing over us. We need the word of the gospel. We need a lot of the gospel. And that is why Jesus exhorted us to preach this. And even myself, as I have been keeping this sermon, I wish to remind everyone who came here, even you who came here with a dry heart, you who have wanted to hear a word of grace land on your heart, you too can believe, even at this moment, all of your sins and doubts forgiven. This gospel is the power of God for every person unto salvation who believes it. Even Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We don't need to be ashamed either. There's nothing to be ashamed about, because it is the power of God. It keeps us on the way, on this way. And at the end of this road, there will be a moment where the gospel is not needed, where the battle has been won. We've noticed that the world is changing around us. There are many ways where the world is changing quite dramatically, and our hearts is quaking quite often before these changes. And I want to tell you, as well as telling my own heart, that God has not changed, God's word has not changed, and the gospel has not changed. It is just as strong. All sins are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, sins are forgiven. Bless each other there on the bench. We need the gospel. I too, who have been proclaiming these words of comfort, my heart has also been often distressed, and I came to this place with many temptations, and I want to ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? I wish to believe with you. This gospel will keep us on the road. The gospel has not changed. It is just as strong as it was when Jesus sent his own to his followers to preach. It will carry us over the river of death into the brightness of our home city. That is our destination. In Jesus' name and precious blood, brothers and sisters, all sins are forgiven. One day, a day will dawn when we believe this way. A day when there will be no more temptations. And that will be a day when the sun will no longer set. And then we will have reached the destination. Remain, brothers and sisters, believing. In Jesus' name, amen.